Today, I'm going to speak. We're going to continue on in our series, and it's going to be about relationships this time. And like I shared before, this is a kind of series that we're going through. Right? Some of you guys are new today. If you were sitting with me in a coffee shop one day, you know, it's kind of like ask any question you want to ask, and that's what I've been doing. I've been just sort of going through different things. We call this sort of the coffee shop talks. And the talk today is I have a brother and sister come see me at Pacific Coffee. Right, Hong Kong company. We did this last week, right? We found out this is a Hong Kong company, and they asked Pastor Sam, I'm single, but I don't want to be single. So what do I do? You know, what is a godly Christian relationship? You know, what are these things all about? Before I get into some more, how many guys is this kind of appropriate for you guys in this stage of your life? I know there's a few married couples here, and for the rest of us and things, I wanted to show you a little clip and. My wife said, don't do it, but I said, why not? We'll just give it a go. This is actually just to give you a little taste of what the married life is like, of what the wedding is like. This is actually a video that we showed at our wedding, and this is kind of a wedding. It's not a wedding video, but just give me a second to cue it up. And the thing is, it makes me look really good, okay? I just want to preface that. I'm not really that good, okay? But it makes me look really good. I think that's why we're kind of struggling with this. But it's okay, because I want to put something inside your heart, right? A little romance, you know, a little this, a little that. All right? So Penny, can you get that light?
Your question straight out, flat out. I want you to give me the honest answer. What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me ending up together?
Well, that's difficult to say, and we really don't.
Hit me with it. Just give it to me straight. Just least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good. I'd say more like one out of a million.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Should I take a couple bows? That's how I proposed to my wife, and I just wanted to give you a little taste of what's to come if you happen to make this great, great decision of your life. Amen. And so the whole point is, I hope that there's a little bit of desire inside of you to get married. You know, at our wedding, at our reception, we showed that, and we showed slides and all these other things, and. You know, there was a bunch of single guys at our church, you know, probably about six of them or so, that they're like over 30. And each one, man, they were really ticked that day. Because they were happy, but they were like kind of like, okay, when's my turn? And, but, you know, lo and behold, man, within the year, like, would you say almost all of them got married and things. So I felt like it was a precursor, right? I sort of brought the joy into the group. So maybe it'll be the same effect this time. But I want to talk about relationships, and I want to talk about what are godly relationships. You know, what are, as Christians, what should we be looking for? You know, what is it in our life, and you know, what does God require of us in the area of relationships? And so, I just want to just go off a couple things. I'm actually going to have to break this up into two parts, because I was doing it, and it's like, well, it'll be a little too long if I keep it in one. And so, you know, ask the question, you know, Pastor Sam, is there a Mr. and Mrs. Right for me? You know, or is there a pool of people that I can choose from? You know, or is God, did He just prepare that one person for me? You know, and so these are kind of some of the questions that we'd be going through in our lives, okay? So let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness in our life, and we ask, God, that you would really meet with us today, Lord, as we delve into a subject, God, that is really dear on many of our hearts, God, as we've been waiting, longing, praying, God, seeking after you, fasting in some ways, Lord, and God, and we desire, Lord, that Lord, even as your word says, God, that he who finds a wife, finds a spouse, finds a good thing and favor from the Lord. And we believe that, God, you want to bring favor into our life, God, by bringing our loved ones into our lives, Lord. And so we ask you to bless this time. Lord, Holy Spirit, come, release your revelatory ministry in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to this group today. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we start talking about relationships or getting into it, I need to just come with one non-negotiable, okay? There may be many, but I just want to just use one non-negotiable. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be flipping through the scriptures here and there. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Right? Do not be bound together with unbelievers. The non-negotiable for us as a believer is, don't date non-Christians. I'll say it, this is as clear as I can say this. You know, and there'll be many, many, you know, things, and there'll be many arguments, and these things will happen. If you can help it, and you can help it, don't be bound together with an unbeliever. You know, there's something, you know, that when God gives us a word like this, or gives us a command, which is very black and white, you know, and you know, I'll talk more about this next week, or actually next week. But when he talks about these things and he gives us this a commandment or something, you know, because we recognize in the other scriptures it says that the commandments of God are not burdensome, you know, and so they're not something to put a yoke on us, but actually God's commands for us are to free us, right? God has a plan for our life. He has a good plan for our life, right? He wants to prosper us, you know. Jeremiah 28, right, or 29, he says this, right? The plans, they're good for us, right? They're to stimulate us and cause us to grow and to release favor in our lives. But there's also another road that we can take that will lead to destruction, that will lead to a lot of hurt, that will lead to a lot of pain. You know, what I find mostly, and I probably share this before, what I find mostly is a lot of people that, you know, are really committed to the Lord in many ways, but yet in this area of their life, they just cannot commit to God for some reason. You know, they're faithful in church, they're faithful in their giving, they're faithful in so many different ways. But when it comes to the area of relationships, all of a sudden the Lord has not become the Lord of that place. Right? There's no lordship, there's no covering. You know, and I share this before, but it happens a lot of times in my church back at home. You know, seemingly when a person hits that magic age of 30 for some reason, you know, it just seems like everything, the lordship just goes to the wayside. You know, where they were so faithful in prayer, you know, they're actually prayer leaders at church. They were leaders in other ministries, and God was blessing their life and all these things. But in the area of relationships, they can't give over to God. So they find any Tom, Dick, and Joe, right, that's got a heartbeat and, you know, four appendages, and, well, here you go, you know, and stuff. And that's not God's plan for our life. You know, that's not what God has intended for us. He desires to bless us. But it seems like the lordship issue, because what it comes down to is, we're saying, God, I don't really trust you with my spouse or my future husband or my future wife. I'm not going to really trust you in that. I know what your word says, and I know that you don't want us to do that, but I'm not going to trust you in that area, and I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to go pursue what I want to do. I'm going to go look in this place, and I'm going to go to this place and explore this avenue, you know, and then we begin to bind ourselves with unbelievers. I'm not saying unbelievers are bad or nothing, right? Because we're here, we're supposed to, you know, we're here on this earth to bring the light of the gospel to them, to bring truth into their lives, right? And so I'm not saying, you know, just, you know, ictnay these group of people. And so that's not the intention of this, and that's not what God is saying. God is saying that when you're in a partnership, right, when we're talking about marriage here, right, two shall become one flesh. And it's not just a physical, you know, thing that happens. It is a supernatural, spiritual, right, joining together that occurs. And then when one person is not of the Spirit, right, you have total mismatch, right? I mean, this is going to be, it's just going to be horrible. I know this firsthand because my sister, my older sister, you know, she had gone through years, you know, when she actually backslid, and she married a guy, a nice guy, sort of, you know, but married a guy, you know, who's not a believer. You know, and so what happens is, you know, when they get married, everything's all peachy keen and stuff because, you know, she don't really care about God that much. But all of a sudden, right, her baby's born, Matthew's born. And next thing you know, she wants to go back to church. She wants to get closer to God. And all of a sudden, there's this incredible friction that occurs. You know, so much so that because as a pastor, you know, I'm counseling my sister, you know, and she'll come to me and every night she cries. I mean, I'm just being really honest with you. Every night, and I've seen firsthand the brokenness that occurs. She just cries. You know, and she cries for her husband's salvation, obviously, but she also cries because there's such a brokenness there, you know, and you know, and if, I mean, if she's going to be lost, she just said, man, I think I made a mistake. You know, we know that God can redeem situations like this, you know, but she goes through so much stuff, so much junk as a result of being bound with an unbeliever, you know, and so this is, if there's any, this is a non-negotiable for us, right? Do not be, other translations say, do not be unequally yoked. You know, don't go after, you know, as a Christian, you know, man and woman sitting in this room, this is some of the best advice I can give to you. Don't date non-believers. I don't believe in missionary dating. You know, I don't believe that, you know, you're a missionary to the person that you're dating is going to happen. Yeah, if they get saved, then you can start dating. You know, whatever you need to do and stuff. But I'm telling you, this kind of stuff just doesn't work. You know, and so we just want to believe the scriptures and we want to believe that God's commands that he gives to us are good commands. You know, and so this is something that I just go straight from the beginning and say, this is something that we just don't want to get ourselves into. Right? This is like, you know, easiest way, just don't play with fire, man. Right? Just don't mess with it. Is that pretty simple enough for us, right? Pretty clear for us to get to? Okay, let's move on from that. Non-negotiable. Now, I want to talk a little bit about men and women, just for a little bit. And we must recognize in our life that there is a difference, right? I mean, there is a difference between men and women. It's not just biological. It's not just physical, right? But there's something spiritual that's different. There's definitely something emotionally that's different. And God has completely wired us this way. You know, and when a man and woman come together, there's a fitting that occurs, right? There's a joining here that comes together. I share this so many times, but a woman's primary need will be for security, right? Primary need is security. And so that's why they tell you, go get a good job. You know what I mean? Like, you know, first, whenever I counsel people that they sort of want to get married and stuff, that's the first thing I say, you have a job? You know, how are you going to support your wife, man? I mean, you know, what the heck are you thinking? You know, do you have money saved up in the bank? You know, I'm not trying to be so carnal, you know, I think about money this way, but a woman's innate need is for security. That's why, you know, if you looked at all the studies are gone, you notice that, you know, women just, you know, the whole idea of the broad shoulders, you know, and just kind of the fit, you know, kind of thing, that this is biological. You look at any, I actually saw something on ATV World, you know, and it was just this opposite of sex, and they were saying the same thing. And I was like, yeah, I knew that a long time ago, man. Our TV show didn't have to tell me that. God told me that. You know what I mean? And there's just something different. And so, you know, the women will go towards, you know, like guys that are a little bigger, you know, a little more on the manly side. You know, I know there's some weird girls that sort of like the effeminate kind, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I mean, you'll have that here and there. But generally, I'm just generally speaking, right, it's more of the manlier, you know, kind of. And there's just an attraction there because it's an innate need that women have for security. You know, a man's innate need, probably the primary need for a man is what? R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? It's respect. Men want respect. You know, I can just, if I be really honest with between Lisa and I, you know, the little tiffs that we get in little arguments, is because in some way I violated her security or she has violated my respect. You know, like sometimes, you know, like I always make this mistake. I'll be preaching here and I get a thought and I'll just say it, you know, and I'll talk about my wife and I and stuff. And you know what I just did? I violated her security, right? And so we go home and say, why did you say that? I was like, it was the Holy Spirit, man, you know? What can I do? I'm just a vessel. You know, but understanding that when that happens, you know, because she needs security, she'll grow out of security, you know, and that's something God put inside of her, you know? And so she needs that. And so for us as men, that's what we should be doing is providing a safe place for our women, You know, and I'll talk about that a little bit. And the other side is respect as well. You know, have you ever seen a relationship where a woman has lost respect for the man? It is ugly, man. Oh, it is ugly. I'm also doomed. I mean, that's one thing. You lose respect, it's so hard to gain it back, right? And things, and so we see that this idea of respect, you know, and it's just little things like between my wife and I, just when I just feel like I'm disrespected, man, I just, you know, I just really get upset. You know, this is going to sound really bad, but you know, were we married at this time, honey? I don't know if we were married or we were dating, but I was actually in a car and we're going through this drive-through, and this other car, that's like this guy in this Corvette came and like sideswiped us, and then he sort of flipped me off, you know, and he started cussing at me and stuff, and so for me, I was really mad. You know, I mean, you know, back in my old days, I used to have some anger issues, right? You know, I'll just be wrong. I know you can't believe it, but I actually did. You know, I would get upset really easily and things. And notice the cast on my hand, you know, and things. And so these things would happen, but, you know, I was so upset. And I mean, I was furious. You know, I was so furious that I actually got out of my car. You know, and I walked over and says, man, I'm going to, you know, basically slap you upside the head, you know, kind of thing and stuff. And then, you know, I'm a sinner. The sad thing is, like, 2 days later, I had to speak at this big revival. You know, this is when I'm a pastor. I'm just being really honest with you. Obviously, I didn't do anything. I was so upset. You know, I didn't know why I was so mad. And, you know, I'm trying to pray and stuff. It just doesn't work. And I got out and I just said, man, just get out of the car. You know, and the guy wouldn't get out. So, you know, finally got back in my car. And then I repented for 3 days afterwards. And things, and I went home and I began to see, why was I so upset? It's because that guy disrespected me in front of my wife. You know what I mean? Don't ever disrespect a man in front of their woman. I'm telling you, man, you know, I don't care how godly you may be. That's fighting words, man. You know what I mean? I'm not, okay, I'm a pastor, so I'm not saying you should fight, okay? But I'm just saying that's just the mode that happens, of course, right? Turn the other cheek. Right? Turn the other cheek. It's okay. We can try to do that. Yeah. You know? And things and stuff, and so, but man, that guy just totally disrespected me, man. You know, when that happens, it's over, because that's my innate need. You know, and I find that whenever I'm in some place, and especially when I'm with my wife or something, and someone disrespects, I just lose it, because that's my primary need. You know, and if it has to do with me, or it has to do with my parents or someone, people that are really close to me, I just don't want to lose the respect. God put that inside of me. God put that inside of you. Every man that's in this room. And I'm not talking about pride, right? That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about, you know, macho camacho, you know, kind of thing, or, you know, Studley Bo Dudley. I'm not talking about, like, this kind of manly, you know, I'm a man, you know, Conan, you know. Even though Braveheart is my favorite movie, as you can tell from the thing. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about the innate respect of things that we do. You know, as a man, your significant other, your wife or whatnot, or your future wife, should really be proud of what you do and proud of the work that you do. You know how important that is? You know, they should really be proud of how you're living your life. You know, the areas of integrity and character. You know, once your character and integrity go down the road, all of a sudden their need for security goes down the road as well, or that sense of security goes down the road. I'll talk about this more next week when we talk a little more about dynamics here. But this is what happens, right? And like I said, man, more than 95% of my wife and I, when we get arguments, you know, it's simply because of that. Simply because of that. I violated her sense of security, and she violated my sense of respect. You know, and it could have just been little things, but, you know, have you ever, like, were in a relationship, or not just relationship, but with people, and you just got really upset for some reason, and you didn't know why? You know what I mean? But you just can't let it go. Maybe something touched really deep inside, right? This innate needs that each of us have in our lives. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. I actually shared this at Hedon's wedding. Let's see about this relationship that God puts before us. In Genesis chapter 2, we'll read there. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground, and the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Amen. Hallelujah. All right, this is what we want, man. Not that we want naked and unashamed, but right, this is what we want. We want to be together. We want something God has put inside each one of us. You know, and if I say this as clear as I can, God has placed inside of every woman, inside of every man, a place in our hearts that the opposite sex can fill. Notice in this text, Adam was walking in perfect harmony with God. Was he not? Perfect harmony with God. Adam was walking in perfect harmony with nature. You know what I mean? There were nothing at enmity with Adam at this point. Right? He's walking in the cool of the day. He's conversing with God. Everything is going great. He's in the Garden of Eden. He's in paradise. Right? The animals, the birds, the flowers, the plants, all these things, right? The trees are budding. Everything is just perfect. And God says, "You know what? There's something wrong with Adam. What's up with Adam?" Right? It's not good for him to be alone. Did Adam say, "God, man, I'm so sick and lonely, man"? Right? He said, "God, oh, come on, hook me up." He didn't say any of those things. It was, sorry about that, it was God's revelation and said, "You know what? It's not good for Adam to be alone." This perfect harmony with God, perfect harmony with nature. Yet there was a part in Adam's soul, in his heart of hearts, that only a woman can touch. Right? Now, I'm not saying that God can't touch that space. God can. But he reserves, if I could say, a vacuum in our heart, right, that God wants to bring our significant other, our spouses, and they're going to touch those places. And that's what he means. And two shall become one. Right? You guys want to get married now? You know? I mean, this is amazing, right? What God has designed and ordained for us. You know, and in each of our lives, we can fill our lives with activities. We can fill our lives with work. We can fill our lives with so many things. But there is a point. There's something in your soul that is reserved for your spouse. And until that spouse comes and there is a joining together, you will not be satisfied in your life. No matter how successful your career may be, no matter how successful you are financially, you know, no matter how much respect you get, you know, all over the world or whatnot, there's something that God has placed in every single soul that's reserved for the significant other. Amen. You understand that? But God said it's not good for Adam to be alone, right? He had in perfect fellowship and perfect harmony. Now, let's go in this relationship here. What was Adam's main job? We talk about this role between men and women. What was Adam's main job? What was it? It was to take care of the garden, right? Adam's main job was to take care of the garden. So everything in the garden, right, that was Adam's job. And Adam's job was to name the things in the garden. Adam's job was, the word is cultivate, which means to grow and to make better. Now, that's Adam's job, right? And so we can say, as men, I'll say this is your job, right? As men, if you want to see God's design for your life, your job is to cultivate the garden, right? It's to cultivate this world, right? Make it a better place. Right, it's to work, you know, not necessarily in the field or anything, but work in this world that the world grows and becomes better. That's our job. Now, what was the most precious thing in the garden? It wasn't the giraffe. It wasn't the lion. What was it? It was Eve. Eve was the most precious thing in the garden. And so much so that some of you guys have read Ed Silvoso's book, right? He has really great insight on this about women, right? And he talks about this thing that women, because men were born, right, we were created out of the dust of the earth, but women were fashioned, right? He doesn't use the word, he uses a different word, he uses the word fashion, and it's fashioned out of our rib. In other words, what God had refined, and then God made women, and women are twice refined, right? I mean, that's pretty deep, man, if you get that, right? You know, because, right, men are refined already. You know, and so we're good, right? God made us and he breathed into us and stuff, but women are refined twice. That's why they're much more precious than we are. You know what I mean? I'm a man. I just be really honest, right? I think my wife's much more precious than me. You know, that's from the bottom of my heart. I believe, in just on a general scale, I believe women are much more precious than men are. You know, in some ways, in God's eyes, we're equal, but there's a bit of difference because you ladies are twice refined. right? I mean, that's pretty good stuff. That's like patting your back kind of, you know, information right there. And this is what God does in our life, right? The most precious thing in the garden. Now, Adam's main task to cultivate the garden, cultivate meaning to grow, to protect, right? To create an atmosphere, right, where the best can come out of the garden. And so what was Adam's main job? Men, what is your main job? What is it? It's to protect women, right? Precious thing in the garden, right? It's to cultivate women. It's to create an atmosphere for women to grow, right? So they could be the best of who they can be. That's a man's job, you know? And we have this, you know, kind of picture of a man, you know, really studly, wearing a motorcycle leather jacket. Hey, come over here, you know? And the girl gets on the back, and we think, oh, very sexy, you know? Or, you know, we have this, that is just not lovely. Do you know what I mean? And stuff. And so, you know, when we look at what the scripture is telling us, what God is trying to speak to us through the scriptures, that the man's job, you know, was in the area of security, right? See how that security comes again? And it's to build an atmosphere where Eve, for women, can grow. You know, and stuff. And interesting, as I'm preparing this message, and I'm going back to this, and, you know, this morning I went to my wife. She was still in bed, and, you know, I jumped on top of the bed, and I just said, honey, will you just forgive me? I just really honored, would you just forgive me? You know, because, you know, it's something that, you know, when you read the Word of God, You know, I'm living through my life, going through my life. You know, I'm not that convicted. But one day I start reading the Word of God, it's like, oh, crap, man. You know? It's like, ooh, cultivated. Did I cultivate? Okay, Lord, I'm so sorry. And I went to Lisa, so Lisa, I'm so sorry, you know, that I have not cultivated. And I didn't create an atmosphere. You know, we talked about other things. And it really brought me to a place of repentance. And I really felt like, man, I need to shape up, man. You know, and hopefully many of you men will come to that place of repentance. You know, and I speak in this in terms of this church body, right? There is this body of Christ. You know, let's just be really honest, right? Ladies, do you feel protected? Do you feel like the men in this fellowship are protecting you? Do you feel like the men in this group are causing you to grow, right? Creating an atmosphere around you to grow? Amen? Oh, man. You guys are in big trouble, man. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? And stuff, and this is like, you know, this goes in the way men look at women. You know what I mean? You know, if you guys didn't figure it out yet, you know, women are not objects. You guys know that, right? Right? They're not objects. Okay? They're just not flesh and blood. There's a soul there. You know, and we need to treat women that way. You know, I mean, I hope maybe I'll give this message a few years down the road, and we better get some amens after that next time, man. Right? Because, you know, we gotta shape up, man. I'll talk about some of these things later on, but we gotta shape up, especially the guys. You guys are just refined, right? So we got a lot more refining to do in our lives and things. And so, right, Adam's main task was to cultivate Eve, right? To create that atmosphere, to care for her, to protect her. Men, this is your job, man, right? Don't you know, let anyone else take this job. This is your job, all right? This is what God has called you to do, every single one of you. You know, and maybe the simple fact is you're not married because you're a knucklehead in this area, man. You know, I'm just being really honest. Maybe God's saying, you know, I would love to bless you, but you're an idiot. You know, and so shape up, man. Of course, God's not going to say that, but I'll say it, right? You just got some issues going on in your life. Shape up. You know, and sometimes, you know, I feel like God just wants to bless you so much. But, man, you're still doing this and still doing that. And, you know, you're still looking at this and, you know, treating people like this. And, you know, and God says, man, how can I bless you with the lover of your soul when you act like this? You know what I mean? And stuff, you know, and if God were to give you that person in your life, you know, you treat them like trash. It's like you treat every woman like trash. You know, I'm just using harsh language, but just to carry the point there. And that was Adam's main job. Now, Eve, interestingly enough, was made out of Adam's rib. You know what I mean? You know, it wasn't out of Adam's head. You know what I mean? So she could be over him, right? It wasn't made out of Adam's feet, right? So she can be, you know, trampled upon by him. But it's made out of Adam's rib to be right next to him, right? Even protecting and covering. The ribs, right, protect the heart. It protects all the important organs that happen there. And that's what a woman, right? When I think a lot of times when he's talking about the ribs protecting, this is where a lot of ways the ego is, right? You know, of course, it's in the mind and stuff. But, you know, it's kind of the essence of man, you know, our heart. You know, the Hebrews understood that the stomach was actually the soul of a man. Right, you know, we always stay in terms of heart, but that's not really, right, the heart is really here. That's what, you know, you get ever hear the word intestinal fortitude? Right, that guy's got intestinal fortitude. It's like, what? his intestines are strong. I mean, what the heck are you meaning? Right? But it means that guy's got something. It's like I got that unk inside. You know what I mean? And they said, this is where it is. And so the ribs protect all these things that are valuable inside. You know, can I just be really honest? Women, men, their psyches are extremely, extremely fragile. I'm telling you, man. Men's psyches, they're extremely, extremely fragile. Right? I hope you've recognized this in your life so far. And then you got to be careful. You know, what you say to a man, you know, you got to be careful, you know, what you do in these kind of things. Because we're extremely fragile. You know, we may look all tough and, you know, on the outside and stuff, but we're just little babies, man. I just be really honest, right? You know, maybe I'm just speaking for myself. You know, so men, forgive me if I'm speaking for all men, but just generally in my opinion, right? And so, and that's what, you know, this is all about. And this Genesis is giving us this picture of how these men and women are supposed to interact with one another. You know, and then later on, I'll talk about some more things here. You know, we all, each one of us, we long to love and be loved. You know, every single one of us, we all, there's a longing deep inside of us to love and to be loved. You know, and God understands this, and He wants to fill our lives with His best. And I said this to so many of you as you asked me for guidance and stuff. You know, sometimes what's good for us could be the greatest enemy of God's best. You hear that? Sometimes what's good for us or what's good could be the greatest enemy of God's best in our life. Don't settle for what's good. Settle for God's best. Right? This is the of all these things that God wants to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I sort of put men on the spot, but let me ask guys, in this church, do you feel like you're respected? Do you feel like you can be a man? Biblical manhood. I'm not talking about macho manhood. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel like the women have been protecting us in that way? You know, that we are really can grow to all that God has for us? Amen? Oh, man. Man, we're a very unhealthy church, y'all. You know, really, this is something that we really need to work on as a church. You know, I know it can be comical and stuff like this, but man, we need to build an atmosphere. If the church is the hope of the world, we need to build an atmosphere for where women are protected, where they're going, and men in the same way, right? So don't call us idiots, right? Don't give us the snide remarks. You know, don't roll your eyes. Men hate the rolling eyes, trust me, right? You know, don't do these things. Just accept us. Just love us for who we are, right? We're not perfect. We never said we're perfect. Right, but create an atmosphere that we as men can grow as well. Amen? You know, the greatest thing you can do, women, is to encourage us. Really, just to encourage us. You know, don't tell us how great we are. I'm not talking about that. Don't pat us on the back. But as the Lord puts words in your heart for different guys, just encourage us. Encourage us to be the men that God has ordained for us to be. Amen? All right, that's the greatest thing you can do. In that way, you're the rib. You know, of course, you know, each guys, you get your own rib. You know, but for now, the community will do, right? It will suffice until the Lord decides to open the floodgates of heaven for you. And it's going to feel like that as well, people. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. See, God's desire is to bless your life. God's desire is to give you so much more than what you're asking for. So much more than what you're even thinking about. I don't know about you, but I can think about some incredible things, man. And God says, I'm going to give you, I want to do exceedingly more than what you even are thinking about. Can you imagine the limitlessness of our imaginations? And God says, I can top that. I want to give you more. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I mean, this is incredible. You know, John 10:10, the thief only comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I came that I might give life and life abundantly. You know, God says, man, I want to give you life, and not just life. I want it to pour out over you. I want to give you so much life that it's going to be spilling all over the place. So that word abundantly is the picture of like a jug that's being poured out, and it's just spilling all over the place. That's abundantly. And later on, they'll talk about that, right? Pressed down, you know, spilling over. This is what God wants to do in our life. You know, so God wants to bless each and every one of you with that significant person. And it's going to be such a blessing. But you need to do it God's ways. right? It's got to be done in God's timing, but it's got to be done in God's ways. Right? That's the point here. Now, we're sitting down. We're having some coffee. Hope you're convinced there. Pastor Sam, how can I find Mr. or Mrs. Wright? Where are they? How can I find that person in my life? You know, if you ask me this question, I would immediately come off and say, you're asking me the wrong question. You're asking the wrong question altogether. The question that you're asking is actually a very loaded question, and it's not a good question at all. So don't ever ask me that question ever again. I won't be that harsh, but, right? The biblical model is not, Lord, find me Mr. Wright and Mrs. Wright. The biblical model is, Lord, I want to be Mr. Wright, Mrs. Wright. That's the scriptures. It's not, Lord, there must be some perfect person out there. No, it's, you know, that's not what you're praying for. You're praying for, Lord, perfect in me. Work in my life. You know, do you see any prayer where these guys are praying, God, you know, where's Mr. Wright or, you know, or Mrs. Wright or, you know, there's not even any hint of anything like that. Every single one, they're saying, search me and try me, O God. See, be there any hurtful thing within me and lead me in the everlasting way. You know, time and time again, people are being introspective of their life. They're asking, God, change me. You know, change my heart, O God. You know, do something within my life. You know, and so our task is not to look for Wright, you know, Mr. Wright and Mrs. Wright, but it's to be the Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright, being your male or female. That's the biblical mandate in our life. That's what God is calling us to, each one of us. Right? I say this as a loaded question because this whole idea of right person, you know, we think, and it may not be in your mind, but sometimes we have this idea that if I find the right person, then everything's going to be really smooth. You know, that there's going to be no problems, you know, that happen in our life, and you know, there's going to be nothing that happens. And a lot of times we have these ideas and these things because it's out of our brokenness it happens. You know, when my younger brother was dating my sister-in-law, and they've been married, actually he's been married much longer than I have. You know, they've got two kids, another one's in the oven, you know, three kids are coming out soon and things. And so, you know, during this time, the mom, right, my sister-in-law's mother, you know, was forcing my brother to take like this, fortune-telling, you know, with a birthday to see if they were a match or anything like this. You know, it's kind of the most ridiculous thing. Like, my birthday is going to tell me if we're right for each other, right? It's like kind of this, like, astrology, you know, it's total pagan worship things, man. Don't ever do anything like that, right? I just tell you right straight up front. And so, you know, they were forced to do this thing because, you know, she was not sure, and she wanted her daughter to be so sure because she was in such a crappy marriage herself. You know, and so it was out of her woundedness, and she kept enforcing upon my sister-in-law, find the right person, the right person. You know, and she's just, because she's a Christian, obviously mom's not a Christian, you know, and then they just keep missing each other. But a lot of times we bring our brokenness into these things, and we feel like if I find the right person, then they're not going to fight like my parents fought, or they're not going to get a divorce, or things, or the infidelity is not going to happen like it happened, because I need to find the right person. But that is not only is that just not biblical, but that is just loaded with all kinds of negative innuendos, and you know it's just not a good thing. You know, just because you find the right person, it doesn't mean everything's gonna be all right. You know what I mean? Write this down in the tablets of your heart. Love is a choice, right? Love is a choice. I know that we have the goosebumps, you know, and you know, the touchy-feely, oh, you know, I noticed on the video, some girls, oh, you know, this kind of, you know, I mean, there's that romance there. But I tell you, romance is not enough. I'm being honest, man. You can, if you fall in love, you can fall out of love just like that. Just like that. We've seen it happen all the time. You know, and so love is a choice. Right? It's not just the feelings, you know, like, oh, yeah, I feel so close to you. I feel, you know, a week later, you may not feel so close to that person anymore. You know what I mean? Love is a choice. It's not just the romance. You know what I mean? It's not just, you know, the kind of touchy-feely and oh, I get the goosebumps when around this person. You know, I remember talking to this one girl, you know, a long time ago, and I said, why are you dating this guy? You know, she said, well, every time I hold his hand, I just get electrocuted. And I was like, oh, my goodness, man. You know, why don't you just come in for some counseling, yo? You know, it's like, give me a break. You know, and of course, you know, it's like kind of, we look and, oh, how cute, electrocuted, you know. Come on. You know, love is a choice, man. right? Love, right, is sacrifice. You know, and then see, and there's something about relationships that when God, you know, because, you know, like when I'm, like, obviously you saw in the video, I pursued Lisa for a good solid 2+ years. I mean, like, you know, we went to the same church. You know, I didn't talk to her. Every time I saw her, I just kind of like, you know, I was kind of bashful and things. And I didn't, you know, it was just kind of a long story. But, you know, God just told me when I was praying, says, just leave her alone because, you know, I'm training her right now, right, to be my wife, right, and stuff. And so, you know, I'm doing a, okay, that's my, God didn't say that to me. God just says, I'm just causing her to fall in love with me. So just don't, basically God said, get out of my way, right? That's the honest truth. That's really what happened, right? I keep embellishing. In any case, so I just sort of stayed away 2 years, and I pursued, and in this relationship, right, I'm pursuing her. I'm not even saying a word to her, you know, like, you know, trust me, I'll, like, all throughout, after the service is over, I'll try to find any way to just go say hello. But there's always people around, so I'll just wait, and then open timing, and then someone else comes. I'm like, crap. You know, she's so popular at church, right? So she's always had people around her. But during that time, I grew so much as a person. I mean, I'm being really honest. In those 2 years were, you know, if I look back, they were wonderful years between me and God. I learned a lot about myself. You know, I learned a lot about why I think this way, why I process information this way, you know, how I handle rejection. You know, I mean, just again and again, I learned so much. And I recognized that would have never happened in my life had I not been pursuing Lisa, had not been for this relationship. You know, and that's what relationships do in our lives. We learn so much. We also learn a lot of bad things because we do a lot of stupid things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we're trying to be godly to one another, and we can learn so much about God. We can learn so much about each other. You know, so much so that I probably said this before, but I tell you guys, as men that are sitting in this room, if you have never been discipled by a woman, you're missing out. I say that. If you have never been discipled by a woman in your life, you're missing out. You're missing out on half of God's image. You only got half discipled. Yeah? Really? You only got half discipled. Right? There's a whole other side of God that He wants to express to you. You know, when one of my mentors told me that, you know what I did? I prayed right on the spot for a woman to come into my life to mentor me and to disciple me. You know, and God graciously, within, you know, a few weeks, God opened the door and God brought this incredible woman into my life. And, you know, she's still my intercessor. She prays for me even to this day. And she really taught me these incredible lessons about the, if I could say, the mother heart of God. You know, and there's something about, right, men and women, when they come together, that God does something so beautiful and so wonderful with. It could be in the area of community and relationships, so many different things, right? Love is a choice, people, right? It's not all just goosebumps. It's not just romance. Remember, Jesus had to choose the way of the cross. He's sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? The wine press. You know, isn't that interesting? You know, Gethsemane literally means oil press. You know, and so in that place of an oil press, this is the Mount of Olives, and oil is just, you know, how do you get the oil out of the olives? It just gets crushed. You know, isn't that a great picture of what's happening to Jesus? Right? Jesus is getting crushed. And what's the result? Oil, fragrance, healing. You know, that's what's happening. And so Jesus, that Gethsemane, He is getting crushed. And what does He say? Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. For the Lord Jesus Christ, love was a choice. And it'll be a choice for every single one of you. Feelings will go away. I'm telling you. You know, before, I used to be the eternal romantic, right? You know, everything is romantic. You know, you can tell, you know, just by little things, even our dates that we had, you know, I try to outdo, you know, as much as I could. And things, unfortunately, you know, now that I got married, I don't really do that anymore. That's really bad, huh? Sorry, honey. Right? I'm going to keep saying sorry for the rest of our time. So, Jimmy, you too, man. Shape up, huh? Right? Being honest here. June's still young, so it's okay. But in a year, I'll tell you to shape up too, man, right? Don't lose the romance of it all as well. And things. And so, you know, and there's just something, you know, kind of like the God was like, I'm sorry, just lost my train of thought here. You know, but let's go back. Love is a choice. How's that? Let's move on. Now, you may invariably, through the conversation, ask this other question. Pastor Sam, did God design the universe in such a way that there's one person out there for me? And so my quest is to find that one person? Nope. Don't even think about it. Right? You know, interesting enough, you know, a long time ago, I would have said yes. You know, when I was dating, I would have said yes. There's that one person for me. Because, I mean, God is all-knowing. Surely there's that one person. You know, now that I'm married, I'm getting a little older, I just feel like, no, it just doesn't work that way, right? And stuff, you know, I'm not saying that she's not the, you know, but it just doesn't seem to work out in terms of God's economy, you know, in our lives. You know, I mean, I really used to believe this is true, you know, and this is, think about this, let's just draw this out a little bit. Now, I've heard this happen a few times. Never happened to me, like in our church, but happened to a couple of my friends. Let's say things are not working out between a husband and a wife. And then there's that thinking, well, there must be that one person for me. Obviously, this person ain't it. So, I need to get a divorce so I can find that one person, because I think my secretary is that one person. She meets all my needs. We just connect, you know, and she's a Bible study teacher. You know, and I just, you know, so she must be that one person for me. And so I need to follow God, right? I want God's will in my life. And if that's that person, then man, I need to get a divorce and follow. I mean, if we really take this all the way through, that's what we come to. Do I believe there's one? No, I do not. I believe that there are a pool of people, right, that God will, you know, that places in our lives. And my belief in God is that God will lead you to the right one, right? Is that right one? Is that the right one? Well, it will be for you. Do you know what I mean? Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? It will be for you. You know, and I believe that through God's grace and through God's mercy, He'll lead us in that path. And He'll lead us. Now, I'm saying right and right in two different ways, right? You know, like I believe that Lisa, I believe there's a pool of people that I could have married, right? You know, for me, actually a large pool, but in any case. Just kidding, just kidding. Just kidding, just cracking you guys up a bit, right? Very, trust me, very small pool, like, right? It was just the mercy of God, or, you know. Now, there's a pool of people, right, and stuff. But I believe Lisa's the right one out of that pool. You know, could I have married someone else? Yeah, I think I could have. You know, and if I married that person would have been the right one. You guys understand what I'm saying? Could have married, and that person would have been the right one. You guys still don't understand what I'm saying? Really? Then you need the Holy Spirit, man. Holy Spirit, come and just minister to us, right? I'm talking about macro and micro, basically, and things. And so in our life, we remember every single time we come back to it, right? Love is a choice. Love is a choice. You got to choose to love that person, right? That's when you take the vow, right? In sickness and health, right? Or what are the other parts? I haven't done a wedding, right? For now, what is it? Oh, what? For rich or for poor, for sickness and health, to life, to death, right? Department, so scary. I haven't done a wedding in such a long time, man. You know what I mean? But, you know, kind of, it's like, it's a choice, man. It's when they're poor, when they're rich, when they're sick, when they're healthy. You know, I mean, that's what God gives. It's a choice, every single one of us. You know, and so we need to really begin to come and remember that part. Now, let me just give you some keys. So, Pastor Sam, I want to get into a godly relationship. Okay, I understand what you're saying, right? And there's a pool of people, and, you know, there's not just Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. How, you know, what can I do to cultivate a godly relationship? You know, maybe there's a sister at church that I like. I think she's pretty cool, but I'd like to get a little better. And maybe the other side, you know, girls thinking, oh, that guy's pretty cool. I get to know him a little better as well. So, Pastor Dan, what should we do? And incidentally, for me, I encourage dating at church, okay? So I'm not one of those pastors, you know, like, you know, the navigators, the never daters, right? I'm not in that school of thinking, right? This is if you guys were in anyone in college ministry, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? And so I believe that you should date, you know, but I use the word very differently. When I use the word date, I'm just talking about going on a date, you know. Say, hey, you want to hang out with me? You want to get some dinner together? You just get to talk. I mean, how are you going to get to know people? You know what I mean? Unless you do that. And so I encourage that. You know, some people ask me, is it okay? I'm like, yeah, man, who do you like? Let me give you some advice. Nope, it's not going to work out. Just move on. Right? Hey, there's a possibility. I mean, you know, a pastor is supposed to have wisdom. He's supposed to know his flock, you know, and move on that way. Sorry, I don't really say that. I just sort of say, well, maybe. You know, inside I'm saying, give it up, man. And things, but... You know, I gotta be a shepherd, right? I gotta be compassionate like that. Here's some keys to Christian dating. Number one, keep your hands and your lips to yourself. I'm serious, man. Keep your hands and your lips to yourself, right? I mean, really. I'll talk about this later on. I mean, just, you know, don't let your hands roam places where it shouldn't roam, you know? You know why a lot of times when we're in relationships, you know why it messes up? Because you violated security. You violated trust. You know, cause I'll talk about this more later on and things. You know, let's say two people are dating in church, right? You know, and they're you know, going on a couple of dates and stuff, and they're just kind of hitting off, and then just there's no chemistry, right? And, you know, chemistry is important, right? You know, there's really nothing going on. You know, attraction is important. I mean, really, attraction. You must be attracted to that person. You know, don't be like you're doing them a favor, you know, or something. You know what I mean? There must be attraction. Did you know all through the Bible, you know, have you noticed that whenever someone was really beautiful, you know, someone was very good looking, that the Bible always made it a point to mention that. Why? Attraction is important. You know, I'm not going to be one of those guys who, no, it's okay. You know, I mean, you have to be attracted to your significant other. If you're not, man, you're not doing them any favors. You know why? Because there will be someone else that will treasure that person. Do you know what I mean? Don't do them any favors. You guys understand what I'm talking about? You know, so these kind of aspects are really important, right? So keep your hands to yourself, man. Keep your mouth, right, your lips to yourself, you know, and when we're, you know, this church couple were involved and stuff, and, you know, and you can split it off, and you say, okay, yeah, sorry, it didn't work out, and you just go, and it's Pete, and you just have another friend. You know what happens? You know, a lot of times, you know why there's so much, like, you come to church, like, oh, I don't know if I should come to church, you know, that person's going to be there, because you did something stupid that you shouldn't have done. Do you know what I mean? And you violated trust, and then you can't look at them in the eye anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like, you feel like, ah. And you got to go through major cleansing, repentance, inner healing. I hope you show up, you know, this coming Saturday. All right? Keep your hands and your lips to yourself. You know, I used to say, you know, a long time ago, you know, I used to say to my high school kids, man, if you can't do it in front of your mom, don't even do it. If you can't do it to your mom, don't even do it. You're like, oh, scandalous. Oh, hey, man. Right? Keep your hands and your lips to yourself. You know, I mean, if you can hold your mom's hand, sure, hold your mom's hand, all right? You can hold your girl, right? Your girl, your guy's hand. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? It's just some good, you know, just keep your hands and lips to yourself, number one. Number two, don't write any checks you can't cash in. Huh? Don't write any checks you can't cash in. In other words, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. You know, invariably, because we're so broken people, you know, you come and, you know, you find that girl or something. You're like, I love you. You know what the girl is thinking? You don't even know me. How can you love me? I'm just an object to you, man. You know, I mean, that's really what's happening in a woman's mind. You know, how can you say something like that? You don't even know who I am. You don't know what I think. You don't know what I'm about. And so I'm just an object to you, man. Right? Don't ever say words like that, especially in the first date. You know, not in the first 10 dates, man. You know what I mean? Reserve that for more an intimate time as we grow in intimacy with one another, right? Be careful of what you say. I mean, don't make any promises you can't keep. Do you know what I mean? You know, I mean, how many times, you know, if you have dated in your life and you made these promises to people, you know, these, man, be careful what you say. I mean, really guard your mouth. As you guard your hands and your lips, guard your tongue, right? Be careful what you say. You can really hurt people. You know, you say, I love you, but then your actions, right, totally contradict what you just said. Don't ever do that. Because you know what it does? You know, and if this person is your significant other, you've just broken trust, you've broken security, and you're in for a big bang. You know what happens? You've broken security. You know what happens to her? Right? You now just, she'll violate your respect. How can I trust you? How can I respect you when you lie to me? You know, when you say frivolous things in my life. Be careful what you say, right? I mean, really, be careful of what you say. There'll be a time to say, I love you. You know what I mean? There'll be a time to express all these things that are happening in our hearts. A lot of times we'll say these things and we'll tell people these things, you know, out of our brokenness because we feel like they're slipping away or something. I'm not saying all the time, but a lot of times, you know, and I'm going to talk a lot about this next time, right? So we'll get into this. Remember Matthew 12:36. Not only will God judge every careless word you say, but your premature words can irreparably damage your relationship, right? Matthew 12 says, right, he'll judge you for every careless word that you speak will come into judgment. You know, and not only you have this violation, you know, vertical violation, you'll have a horizontal violation. And this is just something that happens, right? So be careful what you say. Don't write any checks you can't cash. Number three, Don't look for the right person. Be the right person. Right? Don't look for the right person. Be the right person. You know, don't say, God, bring Mrs. Right, Mr. Right. Say, God, make me. God, change me. You know, make me into the person that is worthy of the wife or the husband that you're bringing into my life. Isn't that wonderful? Right? Lord, make me worthy, you know, as a person to be, right, all that my future wife, my future husband really desires, you know, and will come into this relationship. Right? Don't look for the right person. Be the right person. You know what marriage is really about? Marriage is about losing your rights, man. Right? I've been married for 2.5 years. I'm losing my rights every single day. Right? No, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, and same with my wife. She's losing her rights every day, and we're learning to become one flesh. And that's what it's about, right? It's not about what I want, you know, because eventually in a relationship, someone's got to give in. And hopefully it's a mutual giving in. Right? Hopefully it's done in such a way that there's an honoring that takes place in both lives. You know, so much so that you love so much, you choose to love so much, agapeo, that it's not a sacrifice to give up. Do you know what I mean? You know, in Song of Songs, it says, many waters cannot quench love, many rivers cannot overflow it. You know, it goes on, it says, and if man were to give all of his wealth for love, it says, it would be utterly despised. That's what it's like. It's like, love, it's not a sacrifice. Because I love so much. And you know, interesting, when we do get in arguments, my wife and I always come back to that point. Is it, Sam, am I willing to give up my right in this argument? Am I willing to give up my right in this little tiff that we're having? You know, and then a lot of times, you know, we get upset. But, you know, to be honest, what I do a lot of times, like, if Lisa's sleeping or something, I just look at her, you know, or she's doing something, and I just look at her, and God just reminds me, man, I just really love this person. God, this is not a sacrifice. And of course I'll lay that down. Of course I'll put away this. And of course I'll forgive. You know, of course, you know what I mean? That's love, right? You know, if a man were to give all that he had for love, it would be utterly despised. Because for love, true love, not just the romantic, not just eros, agapeo, true love, there is nothing, right? Nothing, right? No sacrifice is worthy of that love. I said, don't ask for the right person, or don't look for the right person. Be the right person. The last one, there's many more, but you know, I can go on forever, so I'm just going to stop here. Don't wait until you meet that person. Do it now. And I'll explain what I mean in a second, right? Don't wait until you meet that person. Do it now. You know, when I was a long time ago, when I was a real knucklehead, but if you can believe it or not, I was a bit of a chauvinist, you know. I know it's hard to believe, but I was, just a little bit. And things, and I used to just, you know, like, you know, for instance, I'd be at Bible study, you know, and they'd talk about David and Bathsheba and their sin and stuff, and David's sin. And I'd be like, no. That's Bathsheba's fault, man. You know, Bathsheba taking a bath naked in the middle of the day. No, right? And girls would get ticked at me and stuff. And now, everything was a male perspective. I was a bit of a chauvinist. And, you know, and then my pastor really challenged me. You know, and he says, well, you know, this is not really a good, you know, mindset to have. But in any case, you know, what's going to happen when you meet your wife? Are you going to be a chauvinist? And I believe with all my heart, when I find that person, I'm going to change. It'll be different. You know, my pastor says, you're an idiot, man. You know, I mean, you just have no clue, do you? If you can't do it now, you won't do it then. Right? I'll just be really honest. If you can't do it now, you won't do it later. You know, and if you can't cultivate, if you can't treat women the way they should be treated now, you're not going to be able to treat your wife that way. These things just don't come out of a vacuum, man. It comes out of practice. It comes out of a lot of death. You know, it comes out of a lot of effort. You know, and so, and we have a mindset, you know, in a lot of ways that, oh yeah, when I get married, then yeah, I'll be better. You know, I'll take care of it, this and that. You know, oh, I'll be more affectionate. You know, I'll be all these things. And it's like, no, do it now. You know, I mean, now is the day, right? Now is the time. You know, don't get yourself, you know, psyched out and say that, oh, when I meet my significant other, that's a lie. You know, when I meet my significant other, you know, my spouse, oh, then I'll change. You know, then I'll be a different person. You know, then I'll treat them the way that they should be treated. No. Do it now. You know, do it in this church. Do it with, you know, as a man, do it with sisters that are in this church. You know, treat them like you would treat your wife. You know, and the women, treat the men in this church in that same way. Start, and I'm not even saying the word, I'm not even using the word practice. You know, because this is something that you should just, you know, reserve just for your spouse. This is something as a community that we should be doing now. Do you know what I mean? You know, last Wednesday, we were going through a Bible study on leadership. And in leadership, we're talking about what a deacon should be like and what an elder should be like. And I think many of us were convicted, and we thought, wow, it's so hard to be a leader. At the end of all this thing, I was thinking, wow, God's not asking us to do something that we shouldn't be doing already. Do you know what I mean? I mean, men in church, men of God should be doing what Timothy is talking about. You know, even that's not even should be reserved for elders. It should be for every man and woman should be doing the same thing. And in that same way, just don't do it, you know, as a practice for something ahead. This is the way you should be now anyway. You guys understand what I'm saying? All right, this is what God has called us to as a community anyway. And this is what we do. And as we learn to love each other in biblical love, you know, we learn to care for each other. We learn to cultivate one another. Can you imagine how willing a father would be to bring that pool of people into your life? I mean, can you imagine? You know, he sees how, you know, remember what's one of his tenets? Be faithful in the little things, and then I'll entrust you with much. You know, maybe we're not very faithful in these little things. You know, maybe as a woman, you're not faithful with other guys. You know, maybe you're not faithful in treating them in the way they should be treated. You know, maybe you're not faithful in as men, you know, in treating women the way they should be treated. You know, of course, don't get so overly sensitive, you know. And I don't like, you know, it's like, oh, you know. I mean, don't get so anal about it and stuff, but just love each other. Cultivate one another. This is where community comes in. You know, and this is how we can really build each other up. And this is how we get ourselves ready, right, for the day, right, when you can show one of your own videos like that. You know, and God could come and really bless. You know, and to say this all, I'm not saying that when you get married, it's a done deal. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's not like before you get married, you're a loser, and then after you get married, you turn into a winner all of a sudden. That's not the case at all, right? You're just still a loser, but now you got someone else to do it with you. I mean, that's really what it's about. Amen? And things are so, right? That's it. Keep your hands and your lips to yourself, right? Be careful what you say. Don't look for the right person. Be the right person. And don't wait until you meet that person. Do it now. Let's close our eyes.